Yeah. Good morning. Good to see all these smiling faces. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Chris and worship team. Did we thank the worship team this morning? No, let's thank him. Yeah. Well, the message I hope to deliver this morning is Preserving Past the Sixth Time, subtitled When Quitting is Not an Option. If you can, for those of you that are listening by via the internet, there's a picture of a poodle trying to pull over a parking meter, and it says, "Don't give up. Nothing is impossible until you quit." That's a great little picture, isn't it? So let me begin by building a few fences. Have you ever felt like quitting? Well, let me just ask, and I'm gonna elaborate on this more, but let me begin by saying this, that failure is not quitting. Failure is not quitting. We all know that Thomas Edison tried thousands of different filaments before he found the right one. Are we ever indebted to him today? I mean, it's amazing, you know, the light that we enjoy as a result, and many other experiments that he succeeded in. That was not the only one, of course. But Abraham Lincoln, I don't know if you know some of his story, and this has actually been somewhat debated as to the accuracy of all these statements. Some of them, there's some extenuating circumstances that don't appear when I just make the statement. But if just half of these were true, it's a lot. Okay, 1832, he lost his job and was defeated in the state legislature, for the state legislature. 1833, failed in business. 1835, the sweetheart, the woman he'd hoped to one day marry, died. 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. 1838, he was defeated for speaker. 1843, is defeated for nomination for Congress. 1848, he lost re-nomination. He was elected in between those two. He lost the re-nomination. 1849, rejected as a land officer. 1854, defeated for U.S. Senate. 1856, defeated for nomination for vice president. 1858, again defeated for the U.S. Senate. And in 1860, elected president. It's quite a resume, isn't it? Quite a resume. And he said this, "My greatest concern is not whether you have failed, but whether you are content with your failures." My greatest concern is not whether you have failed, but whether you are content with your failures. Abraham Lincoln. So failure is not quitting. Also, letting go when you really need to let go is not quitting. Sometimes we just need to let go. I don't know if you remember in the Zuza Now videos how Lou Engle was talking about the reconciliation that he made with Fred Berry, who is the leader of the Zuza Street Mission. And when I was watching that, I was thinking, well, what's that all about? You know, what was going on? So I did a little research, and I found out what he was speaking about. And let me just read to you this. Fast forward 30 years to when we were holding the call in Berkeley, California. For 16 years, the call has gathered hundreds of thousands in arenas, fields, and stadiums, praying for the outpouring of the Spirit. As such, in Berkeley, we were fasting prior to the call when the Lord suddenly interrupted me and said, "Get reconciled with Fred Berry, the leader of the Zuza Street Mission." This is Lou Engle speaking. 6 years before, I had written an insensitive letter to African-American leaders in America, and Brother Fred and I had a hurtful interaction over it. He had tried to call me a few times to work out our differences, but I just put it off. Sensing the Lord's heart this time, I reached out and called Fred on the phone, and we got reconciled. And then he said, "Lou, the call, Azusa Street, is still waiting for you." This word struck me like lightning. 6 years. Lou Engle's a man that I think we all greatly admire. 6 years he failed to be reconciled with Fred Berry. And then finally, he heard the word, let it go. Let it go. There's some things we need to just let go. And letting go is not the same as quitting. So, also, quitting can be for our good. How many former smokers do we have in here? I see. Oh, I'm seeing a lot of hands. I'm seeing some hands I didn't know were smokers, too. Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure you're glad you stopped. And actually, there is a contraption, something like this. I teach this in my psychology class in behavioral therapy, behavioral modification, that actually can help people stop smoking. You get so sick from smoking so many cigarettes that your body creates an aversion to cigarettes. And it does work for some people. So, it is a funny picture, though. I agree. So, So quitting can be good for you. So what are we talking about with quitting? Well, quitting is to give up, resign, let go, or relinquish permanently. I am sorry. Boy, you guys are so good. I'm impressed. You're actually reading what I have on the screen. Thank you. Wow, that is a tremendous encouragement. Wow, the time invested in creating these PowerPoints, Fred, is worth it. People really read them. Yes, thank you. To give up, resign, to let go, or relinquish prematurely. Thank you. Prematurely. Yeah. Well, I thought about my own life, and I thought, you know, have there been times when I felt like quitting? And there have been, but I was thinking back the very first time I ever understood what it means to quit. My mom had taken the training wheels off the bicycle and I was needing to ride it without the training wheels. And I wasn't doing a very good job. I kept falling. And I got really upset. And I said, I want the training wheels back on. I can't do this. I can't remember all the words as a little kid, but you know, that kind of thing. And she said, no, you're going to learn how to ride this bike without the training wheels. She wouldn't let me quit. And I'm glad she didn't. I can ride a bike today. But that was the first time I was acquainted with the thought of quitting, you know. Yeah, Bob said I was 17 years old, by the way. That's right. Well, the next time was about 6 years later, and it was my first practice in the hot August sun for high school football. I was about to be a freshman. I wasn't yet a freshman, and it was in August. And I came home, my mom and dad were both home, and I couldn't eat anything, and my father made me a milkshake, and I threw it up, and I went down the basement in our house. This is the day before air conditioning, some of you remember that, and the basement was the coolest place in the house, and I went down, and I stretched out on the couch, and I said, I'm going to die. This is what it must feel like to die. I have never felt so horrible in my life. I really honestly thought that, and somehow, some way, I got back up and went back out again to the afternoon. You know, 2 day practices. Dave, you remember that? Where's my brother, Dave? Yep. Yeah, 2 days. So I went back out and kept going, and as they say, the rest is history. So the next time that I can remember, and there are probably times in between, but these are big ones. Believe it or not, I almost quit the Naval Academy. It wasn't the first year. First year plebe year is really tough. Nobody wants to quit then because it's like, you're not going to make me quit. You're not going to get the best of me. You know, it's that kind of an attitude. It's the second year when they've got all these rules and regulations and all your buddies are writing you from all their colleges going, oh, we're having a ball. We're out all night on Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday night and we're doing this and we're doing that. This is 2 years after Woodstock, remember, you know? And you're having to be in by midnight and you can't go out on certain nights, and you don't have the liberty that all your friends have, and that's when it gets tough. And that summer before my junior year, which is the last time you can quit before any time, if you quit after that, you have to serve in the military. So that's the last opportunity you have to quit without any obligation. And I really wrestled that summer with whether or not I should quit. And needless to say, I'm glad I didn't. So that was another time. So one of the more recent times was pastors feel like quitting every day. but when we merged our churches, we went through a, I've been through a church split once. That's how I first became a pastor. And they said, take control of the ship and keep it from sinking while people are exiting left and right. You know, I'm thinking, wow, how's this going to work? Anyway, so, but church merger is pretty tough too, right, Fred? And we went through some really difficult times. Most of you weren't here then, so you, and some of you that were here weren't even aware how difficult it was. But I was pretty much ready to quit. And we both agreed, Fred and I, that we needed help. And Allison Fritz helped us. And when she spoke a few weeks ago at our service, she mentioned about helping people with problems and situations. And when we when it was all said and done, we'd met with Allison for a total of 24 hours. That's what it took to get everything right. And I am so grateful. And you're grateful, right, Fred? We're both so thankful. And here we are today. And what you see here is the byproduct of God's faithfulness to us in the midst of all of that. So I'm glad I didn't quit. Yeah. Amen. 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 And thanks to Allison. Amen. Yes. Tremendous help to us both. Yes. So, well, let's just take a minute to pray. Father, I just thank you today for these awesome brothers and sisters and that we can meet together this morning. We thank you for the freedom we have to meet. We know that so many of our brothers and sisters around the world don't share the freedom that we enjoy. And God, we just remember them this morning as well. And so, Lord, as we join our hearts together, we just pray that you would help us to understand what your will is regarding the temptation that we all have at times to quit, to give up, to not persevere as you would intend for us to do so. Lord, help us to gain a greater understanding of that. And Holy Spirit, just come and infuse our hearts and minds with your word, by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to share with you three stories of people who could have quit. The first is Joshua chapter 6. And you remember, we don't have time to read these, of course, but you remember Gideon and how, Joshua, not Gideon, how he was approaching Jericho. And what did God say to him? Be strong, courageous. And then he said to march around the city, right? He said to march one time for 6 days. Get up in the morning, put the shofar blowers in the front, march around the city one time. Boom. Next day. One time, boom. Next day, one time, boom. 6 days. Then the seventh day, they were to march around it how many times? Seven times, yeah. Now, we don't know exactly, you know, when we try to study these things, we do the best research we can, but we don't always know all the details. So we don't know exactly, you know, how large Jericho was. But if you think about it, if it was, let's just say it was a mile around the city, all the way around, you know, that wouldn't be that large. That's 7 miles they had to walk that last day. Have you ever thought of that? And these walls, we believe, were about 30 feet high, which would be higher than this building is. So, and it's not, you know, it's not the springtime. It's not the beautiful fall. It's hot. You're in the desert. Now, how would you feel? All right, here we go. First day, everybody's probably really excited. Wow, this is so cool. Yeah, Joshua, this is so neat, man. Walking around with the ark, blowing the shofar. Oh, wow, this is really neat. Cool. All right. What? You got to do it again tomorrow? Okay, let's do it again. All right, this is great. Thank you. Wow, Lord, thank you. We're just enjoying this walk. It's beautiful. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Okay, good. Now what? We got to do it again tomorrow. Oh, okay. Day after day. Then on the last day, all right, I've been around the city 3 times. How many more times are we going around the city? Joshua, hey, what's going on here? 4 times. Look, my GPS isn't working. I don't know. I'm lost. What do we do? You know, I mean, you can imagine how they would feel. How would you feel? You know, be honest. You know, we all act so spiritual. Oh, yes, I'd be with the Lord. I'd be in the Spirit. Yes, God. Believe me, after about the fifth time, we'd all be grumbling. You know? All right, Lord. Come on, let's go. Let's. Something needs to happen here. We're getting a little tired, getting hot. We're getting thirsty. We're getting hungry. You know, how many more times do we have to go around this city? But time to fire Joshua. Right. Let's stop. Take a vote here. That's right. Thanks, Fred. That's good. What'd you say? Oh, okay. Nothing. Well, the next one is, I'm going to give you three stories here. The next one is from 1 Kings chapter 18. And you remember how Elijah was, he was a great prophet, and he had just had this incredible encounter with the prophets of Baal. I'd love to go into that whole story, but we don't have time. That's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And so that's all over. And then God says, okay, time to pray. Time to pray for rain. It's been a drought for 3.5 years. There's not a cloud in the sky. Not like here. I mean, last week, if you'd said, I'm a great man of God, I'm going to pray for rain this week. Really? Well, you're really impressive, you know. It just rained every day but one, you know. You know, there's no one like that, you know. He didn't have the weather report saying rain's on the way, you know. He didn't have any of the things we have today. And he's out there praying after a 3.5 year drought. And he says to his servant, go look. Tell me when you see a cloud. Servant looks. Sorry, no cloud. Go back. Look again. Nope, no clouds. Not a cloud. He does this 6 times. 6 times. Now, what's the servant thinking? This guy's nuts. Yeah, thanks, Bob. This guy's nuts, you know? Come on, let's go get some coffee or, you know, some bagels, lox and bagels. It's time to take a break here, you know? It hadn't rained. It's not going to rain today. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. What's wrong with this man? He's an old fool. All right, well, we're going to come back to that story, too. So then we got this one with the wonderful general. This is in 2 Kings chapter 5, and his name is Naaman. And he was the King Aram's general. He was the lead general. He had conquered all their enemies. He was a hero. He'd be like General Schwarzkopf or General Colin Powell. I mean, everybody loved this guy. But he's got a skin disease. Now, some of you may remember that some Bible versions say leprosy. Probably wasn't leprosy because they kind of called everything that was skin disease leprosy, but it was definitely a skin disease and it was definitely a problem for him. So he heard about this guy, Elijah, who, you know, was a pretty impressive dude. And he said, if you go to him, you might get prayer for healing. Hey, why not? So this guy goes. Now, listen to this. He takes with him 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. Sounds like one of our wives packing for a weekend away. Let it go. I couldn't resist that one. He comes with all of this, all right, and he comes to the house. There's some other details I'm leaving out, but he comes to the house of Elisha. And now, in the Middle East, what is king? Hospitality, right? Hospitality. Those of you who've been there know that. Hospitality is king. Come on in, have coffee with me, have tea with me, have chai with me. You know, let's break bread together. Hospitality is king. He comes to the house. Elisha doesn't even come to the door to greet him. He sends his servant. He doesn't even say hi to him. He doesn't even say, hey, great to see you, General. What can I do for you? He sends his servant, says, go tell him to dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River. The general's pretty upset. I mean, he's come in his chariot. It's like, you know, it's like today's Mercedes-Benz. You know, he's got the nicest chariot, the Mercedes chariot, the Mercedes logo on the front, you know, and his big white horses. And, you know, he's the general. He's second to the king. He's the man. Think of one of our guys that's running for president, you know. You know who I am, you know. Got to be careful here. Okay, so he's there, and the guy says, go and dip in the Jordan River. He's like, what? I got more beautiful rivers where I came from. I could have gone in any one of those rivers. I could have dipped in them 5 times a day. What are you talking about? 7 times in the muddy, dirty Jordan? He's just really upset. He's not even going to do it. And his servants say, hey, look, what do you got to lose? We've come all this way. Just go ahead and do it, you know, see what happens. Okay, so he goes in the river. Again, you're the general. One time, nothing happened. 2 times, nope, nothing happened. Skin disease still there. You know, I mean, what's he going to be saying after the third, fourth? Come on, I'm tired of this. I'm getting wet and wetter, and I'm soaked to the bone, and nothing's happening. This is ridiculous. Come on, let's be honest this morning, all right? Everybody's looking at me very spiritually. You're like, oh, I'd never do that. I'd just do what they tell me to do. No problem at all. You know? Yeah. What each one of these stories, it was the seventh time. The seventh time. The seventh day, 7 times around the wall, that the walls came down. 7th time that he dipped himself in the water and he was healed. 7th time that the servant of Elijah went and looked for the rain cloud. He said, there is a cloud. There is one cloud in the sky. Elijah said, rain's coming. And it did. 7th time. So how many times have we given up after the 3rd time, the 4th time, the 5th time, the 6th time? We haven't been able to make it to the 7th time. Perseverance. Perseverance is the continued effort to do, complete, or achieve something despite difficulties, opposition, or even failure. Now, we can do a lot of perseverance and there are millions of stories. I'm going to share one with you in a minute, but there's millions of stories of people who persevered out of their own strength. We can do that, right? And I'm not putting down their stories or their efforts or anything like that at all. But I want to be someone, and I know you do too, who when we persevere, it's persevering in the Spirit of God. It's not just my own strength. So let me give you a definition of that. Oswald Chambers says this, and I love it the way it's put. Perseverance is endurance combined with absolute assurance and certainty that what we're looking for is going to happen. A call not to hang on and do nothing, but to work deliberately, knowing with certainty that God will never be defeated. See, that's the difference. Now, let me just share with you a brief video. It's just a couple minutes long. About someone with whom many of you are probably already familiar, but to me is one of the best examples of perseverance.
Every once in a while, you meet people who overcome tremendous obstacles to reach their goals. There are other times, rarer still, when you meet a person who carries joy in spite of ongoing suffering. These are people you don't forget easily. But there's a person who I've come to know recently that does both of these things quite remarkably. Winter will end. His story is one of perseverance and hope, and his name is Nick Vujicic. Your heart will mend. Born in 1982 in Brisbane, Australia, Nick was born without arms or legs. Although his body was different, his parents realized that his mind and spirit were just as sharp and alive as any other young boy. Even though Nick has no limbs, he has touched thousands in ways deeper than a hand ever could. He himself is a living witness to not giving up when life brings the unexpected. Nick has faced the obstacles that living without limbs brings head on, participating in activities that many would say are impossible for a man with his limitations. Nick has not only learned to do many of the everyday things, he has worked hard to enjoy the recreational side of life as well. While Nick's physical feats are impressive, it is his passion for encouraging others that is most remarkable.
You see, it's very hard to smile sometimes in life. There are things that happen that you don't know and you don't understand, and you don't know if you're going to get through it. You know, you go through your storms in life and you don't know how long this storm's going to be. And today I want to share with you some principles that I've learned in my life that you can use in yours.
Good morning. Nick travels all over the U.S. and the world, encouraging youth and adults alike to never give up. His perspective is powerful. Nick's story is far from over, but it could have been much different. His faith has given him the perseverance to get up, even if he had to use something besides hands to get him there.
Amazing, isn't it? Before I move on and share a few more thoughts with you, any feedback from that video, any thoughts that come to your mind just watching that? I know some of you have seen this man before. Yes, Kristen in the back.
He's actually married.
He's not only married, he has a son. Yeah, he actually is married and has a son now. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, another wow to add to the wow list. Yes. Yes, Karen. Ooh, Karen said, instead of life without limbs, life without limits. Yeah, he was showing some things in those videos that I've never done. You know, I haven't done, yeah, a number of the things that he was doing. Yeah, anybody else? Any other thoughts, immediate feedback? Yeah. Yes, Mary.
This is not the first time I've seen something about.
Yes. Mary said that if someone else was in his condition and just spent every day in a wheelchair or in bed and didn't do any more, most people would not think twice about that. They would certainly show compassion, but look at what he's done. Brian? Thank you. Yes. Amen. Well, the scripture teaches us this. In Hebrews we read, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus persevered for us, so now we can persevere. He showed us what perseverance is in a way that no one else has ever done before. Looking back at these examples, to give you a few takeaways here. Perseverance gets you from the promise to the fulfillment. Perseverance secures victory in spiritual warfare. Perseverance gets us from seed time to harvest. And perseverance enables us to make it to the finish line. Perseverance gets you from the promise to fulfillment. Perseverance secures victory in spiritual warfare. And perseverance gets us from seed time to harvest. Perseverance enables us to make it to the finish line. Joshua and the Israelites persevered, didn't they? They kept walking. Every day, seven times that last day, they persevered, and what happened? The walls came down. the walls came down. You see, breakthrough always follows breakdown. The walls had to be broken down before the men could break through. We sang that song over and over today. Break down the walls. What are the walls in your life? What are the walls that need to be broken down so that God can break through? See? What are the walls that need to be broken down so that God can break through? Naaman got his healing because he persevered. Now, he wasn't a man that knew God. He didn't believe in God. He just obeyed the prophet. But guess what happened after he was healed? His eyes were open to God. He said, whoa, I'm going to worship this God. He's amazing. Yeah. He persevered through his trials and got his healing. Elijah, he kept persevering in prayer. He prayed and prayed and prayed. And then after 3.5 years, the rain came. Is there something you've been praying about for years? And you just think, you know, nothing's changed. Nothing's happened. The rain has not yet come. What do we do? Keep on praying. Keep on praying. He did. And you know, I love a scripture in James chapter 5 and verse 17. It is one of my absolute favorite scriptures in all the Bible. You know what it says? It says Elijah was a man just like us. Isn't that wonderful? He was a man or woman, we can say. I'm not doing injustice to scripture. I know you all know that. He was a person just like you or me. That gives me tremendous hope. Because you know what? You know, who is it? Lee Harvey? Who's the guy that, now for the rest of the story? Paul Harvey. Thank you, Lee Harvey. Wow. Okay, Paul Harvey. Thank you. Now for the rest of the story. Yeah. Okay, so here's Elijah. He defeats the prophets of Baal. I mean, he has this remarkable encounter. You know, they build the altar. Prophets of Baal are running around cutting themselves, screaming and yelling for God, their gods to do something. Nothing happens. Elijah is very, he gets to be really kind of rude and crude with them. You know, he says, maybe your God's in the bathroom somewhere. He's not hearing you and all these different things, you know. And literally, that's what he's saying. And you know, he's being kind of arrogant with them and pretty rude. And so then he pours water on the altar. Remember that? He actually adds water and then he kind of goes, okay, God, boom, things consumed in fire, even the stones. It was crazy, remarkable. Then the prophets of Baal met their demise, which is kind of a gory thought. But anyway, so, I mean, this is like winning 3 Super Bowls in a row. I mean, he's on the top of the world, right? He's the top of his game. Then he prays for rain. 3.5-year drought. Rain comes. Ooh, torrential rains. What happened next? Jezebel. Ooh, Jezebel was after him. All of a sudden, this great man of God becomes a whimpering little dog. Puts his tail between his legs, goes into hiding. He is scared to death. Whoa, where'd that come from? Elijah is a man just like us. So who's the Jezebel in your life? And again, don't go to the wrong places. I know years ago in the charismatic movement, there was a whole thing about the Jezebel spirit and blah, blah, blah. And I believe there is such a thing. But every woman that had any sort of strength through her at all, oh, she's got the Jezebel spirit, you know, kind of cast it out of her, you know. It was crazy, you know. It was really bad. It was really bad. A lot of people were hurt over that. And I regret it. And it could be men, too, you know, one just women. But anyway. Let's forget all that. But the point is, Jezebel represented someone in his life that he was afraid of. He wasn't afraid of the prophets of Baal. He wasn't afraid of calling on God to bring rain after a 3.5-year drought. But he was afraid of Jezebel. So who is the Jezebel in your life? What is the thing that you're afraid of? What's the thing that keeps you, that makes you want to quit because of your fear? He wanted to quit, didn't he? He wanted to quit. He said, this is it. It's all over. I'm done. Forget it. God, I mean, after all these tremendous victories, he said, this is it. God, thank you. Been great walking with you, but take my life. Take my life. I'm not worthy. Not worth it. Don't want to do it anymore. Just take it. 1 Kings chapter, what is that? Chapter 19. You remember he was there in the wilderness, and food was brought to him. Remember that? Yeah, good old ravens. I love the ravens. Anyway, he was getting fed, right? Angel touches him. What about you? I don't think I've ever been touched by an angel. There was a TV show about that once, but I don't know. Anyway, angel touched him. Get up and eat. There's water. There's bread. You know, hot bread. Good bread, tasty bread. If God makes bread, it's good bread. You got it? I mean, think about it. Think of the best bread you've ever eaten, okay? If you're gluten-free, it's gluten-free bread. Whatever, you know. God does it, right? So he gets up and he eats the bread and he goes back to sleep. You know, he says, he lays down again. He says, I'm not worthy. Forget it. I give up. Had it. He's ready to quit. He's ready to quit. And God comes to him, and first there's the wind, and there's an earthquake, there's fire, there's all these elements. Was God in any of them? No. Where was God? Still small voice. Yeah. And God comes to him and says, go do this, go do that. He says, go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you're to anoint Hazael as king over Aram, you are to anoint Jehu as king over Israel, and Elijah as the prophet in your place. And then Jehu will be put to death, etc., etc. And guess what? He did. He did it. He did it. He did it. He was obedient to the Lord. He heard the voice of God. So, when we're faced with those Jezebels in our life, when we're dealing with those 30-foot walls that just seem impenetrable, when we're dealing with circumstances beyond our control, we need to just do, I could give you 5 points, I could give you 6 points, I could give you 3 points, I'm going to give you 1 point, Jesus. That's the point. We just press in to Jesus. We press into him and say, Lord, my hope and trust are in you. My life is in your hands. Lord Jesus, break down this wall. Lord Jesus, take away that fear that I have of that Jezebel. Do what you need to do, Father, to make me the person you've called me to be. To do what you've called me to do. And to not quit. To persevere. In spite of the circumstances around me. How many of you want that this morning? Yeah, I want it too. Why don't you stand with me? And I just want to take a minute here. And if you've got something in your life and you know it's a wall, we all have problems. Believe me, don't. We all got our stuff, right? Everybody does. Stuff for one person isn't a problem for another person, There are things I can do and have done that, other people say, wow, Randy, you do this or that. I couldn't do that. Well, maybe they couldn't, but I couldn't do some things other people do either, I've never been out surfing. John Christensen back there goes surfing all the time. Right, John? Yeah? Loves it. Yeah. So, we're all different. So we all got our walls. We all have our Jezebels in our lives, the problems of the people or the things that make us want to just quit and give up. I've I've heard some great stories with this election coming up, but one of the funniest was yesterday was a picture. It was a Facebook thing, a post, and it was an obituary, and it said so-and-so died. She decided rather than trying to decide on who to vote to in this next election, she'd rather go home and be with the Lord. I thought that was great. So we all got challenges, right? We do. And we all need the Lord to overcome those challenges. So just whatever your challenge is, just lift it up to him right now. Just say, Lord, I want breakthrough. I want that wall broken down so you can break through. Lord, change. Change me. You know, if we can't change the situation, guess who has to change? We do. Lord, change our attitude. Change our thought. Change our vision. Change our understanding. Give us your perspective, Lord. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, just come now by your Holy Spirit, I pray. Just come and speak to our hearts, Lord. There may be someone here this morning, a brother or sister, who's thought about quitting. I don't know what it is, but it might be something in life. A job, might be a relationship, it might be any number of things, and you just felt like quitting, just saying, I just quit. Lord, if there's a person in here or more than one that feels that way, just touch their hearts right now, I pray. Just touch their hearts, I ask, Lord. Help them to see how they can persevere in you. Lord, we thank you for the examples from your word. We thank you for the example of Joshua and the Israelites as they persevered six days, and then on the seventh day, seven times walking around that city. God, we thank you for the general who didn't stop at six, but seven times immersed himself in the Jordan River and was healed of his skin disease. Father, we thank you for the example of Elijah who prayed for rain, and after 3.5 year drought, it came. Thank you, Lord. Help us to persevere like them. Help us to persevere. Even as I'm praying, I'm reminded of a story of one of the great saints of old, George Mueller. It's a true story. George Mueller, he had prayed for a man for 63 years. 63 years. And the man in George's lifetime, never came to faith. As Mueller's casket was being lowered into the ground, this man gave his heart to the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, from your word that you teach us in Matthew 7. Ask, and the gift is yours. Seek, and you'll discover. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For every persistent one will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for, and everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. Hallelujah. We just declare your word, Lord. We agree upon it, Father, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.